Pleased to be able to have an opportunity to chat with Quincy Ward 2 City Councilor Brad Kroll before his resignation. Hey, Brad, Happy New Year.
Joe, Happy New Year. Good morning. Good morning to all the at-home viewers at QATV. Nice to be with you here on this brisk January morning.
Great to see you. It's been a little while since we chatted. I appreciate you reaching out. I think you stunned a lot of your colleagues and myself when you made your announcement last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of factors that went into it, Joe. As you know, I think we've had a really good working relationship for the last 9 years. I put everything I have, my whole heart and soul, into this job, and it takes a lot of time, but it requires a lot of time, right? I've always looked at it as, if you can't go at something 110%, well, maybe you shouldn't do it. And, after long thought and consideration and really talking to my wife, based on my family dynamic, I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and we're expecting our third child, the handwriting was on the wall that I wouldn't have the time I believe is absolutely necessary to be an effective ward counselor. With that, I probably could continue on, but I feel like in my heart of hearts would be giving a disservice to the people that I represent. And look at the whole procedure now of being pregnant during COVID. That's a whole nother set of circumstances. So my kids are young; they're starting to get involved with different activities and. My number one job, as you know, because I've say it on the show fairly frequently over the years, is to be a good dad and be a good husband. And, right now, my family needs me, and that's where I need to be, and that's where I want to be.
Well, I mean, you served for almost 10 years. You did a lot in that period of time, I'm sure. What are some of the things that you feel, proud of, most accomplished, I guess?
Yeah, I just asked my wife that same question about 15 minutes ago. I'm like, what did I do over the last 9 years? Because honestly, it's probably one of my biggest challenges. I was never, let's climb to the top of the mountain and say, hey, look at what I'm doing. It's just, check the box and move on. There's plenty of work to do. You get stuff done. I would say my biggest accomplishment is, honestly, I always kept it real. And I say that in an environment right now, nationally, where you see, not a lot of that sort of real approach taking place. I always put the people first. I did a lot of listening, and I feel like out of listening, that's the number one tool in the toolbox. You got to listen to people. That was like a moment I just felt like I was a senior. I've been here for a while, but it's true. You got to listen to people. And, I would have these ongoing coffee hours where we would just kind of meet as a community, and people would express sort of their thoughts, ideas, and concerns. And out of that came a lot of good work. I always remained very active and connected to the senior buildings I represent, several, Quincy Housing Authority properties, and obviously 1000 Southern Ottery. And I always felt like I was a strong voice for some folks that, may not have that level of comfortability to speak out for themselves. And I was tested early on in my career with an issue we had going on at Pegnana Towers with respect to the elevator. We had, there were two running elevators, then they were down to no running elevators, and they were down to one running elevator, or up to one running elevator, and enough was enough. And, we went through we did what we had to do, but there were two operating elevators in a senior building with multiple flights, and those are serious situations where you got to step up and you got to lead. And there's, regardless of some of the peripheral things that may happen, people's lives are at stake, and access, particularly during an emergency, was in question. And, know, I just always felt like I needed to be, you know, a strong voice for seniors, particularly. As a result, you know, the relationships that I've formed with the senior community has been like incredible. And although this is a very difficult decision for me, and I'm sure it'll be a mess tonight at the last city council meeting, but I built some really, really good relationships with the senior community, and in like this kind of weird way, they've almost become like an extension of my family. And again, like they knew me, you know, spry young 30-year-old brat girl, single, you know, young, no children. And they've seen me sort of grow into, you know, a husband and a father of one, a father of two, and coming into a father of three. It's really kind of a unique journey, if you will. But, you know, you talk about like accomplishments, like being able to be, you know, an outspoken voice for the senior community is something that is really special to me. And, you know, we've got a lot done for that constituency. I was, you know, saying to my wife, like jokingly, like, well, what exactly, you know, would you say we've accomplished? And, you know, early on, this is probably one of the coolest things that I ever did. I had this idea because I would visit a lot of these buildings, Joe, and I know like socialization as we mature in life is like a huge thing, you know, just having the ability to go out with your friends and, you know, sort of commiserate and share a nice meal, like that's important. It's important at any stage of life, but I feel like with the senior community, you know, it's really important. So I came up with this idea called the Sizzling Senior Specials. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
I literally designed this this coupon booklet where I called a whole bunch. It must have been about 30 restaurants, probably close to 30, throughout the city of Quincy. I explained sort of the mission was to create, you know, an opportunity for seniors to come out during the daytime, go to an establishment, and hopefully enjoy cuisine at their place at a discounted rate. So basically what I was doing was creating a coupon booklet for seniors. So you could go to ABC restaurant, and if you came between, you know, 12 and 2, you got 20% off your meal. That was it was a howl. Sort of marketing. We had this little, you know, commercial thing that we did down at the chamber, Thousand Sudden Artery. And I don't know, I just remember like the feedback being like over the top positive. And I know people really, really appreciated it. You know, that was early on. It might have been like year three. And, you know, again, Joe, just kind of always trying to listen to people. I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, Four of a Field, like a place that was like so underserved for a really long time. Just, I remember playing baseball down there as a kid and I'd be like, oh my God, I got to go to Four River. We used to call it jokingly the Dust Bowl because you get the wind off the ocean and just blow the dust all over you in the infield, you know, while you're waiting for the hitter to hit the ball. And, you know, having been given the opportunity to work in that project and secure a lot of money. And hey, let me just put this out there too. None of this is possible without, you know, having the ability to build. I'm a bridge builder. I work with all types of people, you know, to get a project or the job done. So, you know, kudos to the people, you know, I mean, I know the mayor's been serving in his capacity the entire time I've been there. So, you know, he's been an ally with a lot of these projects. Now Speaker of the House, Ron Mariano, been an ally, many of these projects. So nothing gets done, you know, in a singular manner. So I just want to say that before I continue, but being able to kind of roll out that whole revitalization down at Four River Field in the clubhouse, but more importantly, the playground. And when I talk about, you know, at times sort of the underserved community, like we had a real opportunity when we were constructing that playground to make it handicap accessible. And it costs a lot more money. And we're about $35,000 short. I'd say this is probably one of the coolest things I've ever been part of. We're about $35,000 short. It was mainly because, you know, the rubberized flooring that we needed to get a, you know, mobility device, like a wheelchair, onto the play surface. So there's a group of us, group of misfits, and we're just like, we're going to get this done. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to get this done. And we, you know, there was a group of us. They put together a fundraiser. I started making some telephone calls. We got, you know, some major donations from Dan Quirk of Quirk Automotive and Jay Cashman of Jay Cashman Construction. I think they each donated $10,000. And then we raised about another 15. And this was in, like, I'm not even kidding you, a three and a half week time frame. So, like, to sit there on the day when we were actually cutting the ribbon and knowing that no child in the city of Quincy, regardless of their physical capability, gets lost now and has a place to go and feel like, you know, they're connected and they belong. Like, being able to just, like, witness that, I guess, like, the sort of banding of the community, not even just the ward, but the community coming together, you know, with the mindset of, like, we got to get this done. This is a good idea. And I can't believe there's not a playground like this. And like I said, just sitting there on the day that we kind of opened the playground to everybody, it coincidentally happened to be the 100th anniversary of Four River Clubhouse. And knowing, like, you were just a tiny little part of that was, like, beyond words. And now being a father, you know, like, it just had kind of a even different feeling. But, I mean, again, those are the things you can do when you commit yourself to public service and listen to people. This job is about listening. I know sometimes we get caught up in using other bodily functions, maybe our mouth, but this job's about listening. And, you know, I really do believe if you listen to people, you're going to hear what's on their mind, and it helps to shape sound policies. I've talked a lot, so you just stop there, Joe. It's kind of all coming out of me at this point.
No, this is the idea to have you on, Brad, is to let you share these experiences. It's funny, the things that you're talking about are, you know, not policy things that you might think of, you know, that you'd enact at the city council, but you're talking about grassroots things that affect people's lives directly, you know, and impact them right where they live. That's
why I get into this job.
I think that describes the role of a city councilor, right?
That's who I am. I mean, one thing I would just say to anybody listening here, because it's important that the work continues. And I know there'll be some qualified people and with different ideas, which I do think is healthy. It's healthy for the system, you know, to have fresh perspectives, new ideas. Like, I think that's a good thing. We do have two projects that are already funded. One is the continued work internally on the Four River Clubhouse that, gosh, I really, 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 really hope I'm around to see the day when that becomes the location of a satellite senior center. So providing resources and accessibility for seniors at this end of the city is something that I came to the conclusion through listening to people is needed. And I hope that whoever comes into the Ward 2 City Council seat continues to work with the stakeholders and move that ball forward, because that is something that, that we not only want, but desperately need. And also the trail expansion up at Faxon Park. I know you've had the Friends of Faxon Park on here a couple times. And, you know, we actually went on a hike this past weekend. So it's kind of really nice to see that group sort of finding its identity with just the utmost goal of, you know, providing, bringing people into the natural beauty, I think, of Faxon Park. And there's a trail expansion plan that's going to happen there. I was able to get about $700,000, you know, appropriated to us. The money's there. That's the best part about it. We can have all these ideas and talk on, you know, talk on shows, but unless we have funding, they're just ideas on paper. But we actually have funding, so that's a really cool thing. And there's a lot of excitement up here in this end of town. And, you know, that's an area that I'll stay involved in as a private citizen, because I like the park. I use the park, and you know, it's an issue local to me up here where I live. So I'm not going away. It'll just be a little bit different, you know.
What would you say, Brad, is your biggest kind of regret or disappointments so far?
It, with respect to the console?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I really have any regrets with respect to the city council. Again, this is like a very heavy decision to me. I woke up this morning, I was just like, oh, you know, like in a good way, because I really like the work. And, you know, it's a tough decision. It's a tough decision, like tough decision. But it's the right one, and I know that. I feel like I would have a regret if at this moment in my life, 2021, I continued to move on. I just don't see how I would have had the time to be as effective as people tell me that I was. And that's like kind of been the crazy thing about this whole journey. And I'm going to talk about it tonight, but people, you know, often say, like, I would hear ward council, oh, you know, hey, kid, it's a thankless job. And, you know, you're looking to be praised. We'll find another job. Tough job. But, you know, if you're really looking to see humanity at its finest and, you know, really help people, like, it's the best job on the planet, in my mind. Just having to get a little emotional here, but
don't want to make you cry. That's not my goal.
Yeah, no, I got to save that for tonight.
That's right.
I got to save that for tonight.
I'm guessing, you know, the fight against the compressor station is probably one area where you wished you'd succeeded a little more than you did.
We're still fighting. We're
okay.
Still in court. We're still, you know. We get injunctions filed on all those permits. So it's not over till it's over. But I know, listen, that's a good point. I remember the day one when I went to the, quote, open house up at the Sons of Italy during that major, major snowstorm. You know, following that journey up into where it is today. It's been heart-wrenching. Again, like one of the biggest things that I can say I walk away from this moment in my life with is like I've met some beautiful people. And a lot of the, you know, some of those beautiful people are members of the Four Residents Against the Compressor Station. Like you talk about like diehard soldiers for a cause. That's it. Alice Arena, and I mean, I could go right down the list, but, you know, Quincy, Weymouth, even some folks from Braintree. Yeah, I wish the success rate was a little bit higher, but you know, like I say, nothing's over until it's over. I learned a lot about a lot of different things. That's the cool thing about a city council too. Like you become more than a generalist in so many different areas. You know, in my sort of, I say it's like kind of steps along the way. You know, one of the neat things is when I became finance chair, and that was pretty early on, like back when we really used to cut the budget. You know, and that's a major function of the city council, cut the budget, you know, enact policies, cut the budget. You know, having that role, I learned just a lot about, you know, municipal government and how it works financially. And, you know, I may not have always made, you know, the Patriot Ledger or the broadsheets, but a lot of the stuff I was working on was financial. And I know that, you know, those decisions affect everybody. Yep. And, you know, my district was always one of the most diverse from a socioeconomic standpoint. And I felt like, you know, I put myself in a position up there at the city council. I raised my hand to take on one of the committees as a whole. I drove that committee. I did a ton of work. There was never a moment where anybody walked into that city council meeting and wasn't prepared, at least from the material that I had provided to them. I did the work, and it's a lot of work. There's a ton of stuff that goes into it that people don't see. It's more than just a two-hour meeting twice a month, you know, to be effective. And I felt like I was able to, you know, be the voice of the people I represent and, you know, support stuff that I thought was in the best interest of the city as a whole, and, you know, cut stuff or make motions to cut stuff when I felt like there wasn't. No regrets. Marie, I honestly feel like today, January 19th, 2021, I look at that section of my life like absolutely no regrets. I led with my heart. And that's what you do.
Talking about being a bridge builder, you were, of course, in office with the new Four River Bridge and the Washington Street Corridor beautification project. That looks completely different than it did when you first took office.
Yeah, I, full disclosure, all that credit belongs to Speaker Mariano on the bridge. I don't even think I was elected when we were doing the sort of presentations, whether it was going to be a vertical lift or a bascule. So kind of opening like the old way. I really didn't have a ton to do with that bridge outside of, I was involved with the conversation around the East Howard repointing down the other ends. And I think that was like a smart move that was made to, create a mitigation opportunity to repoint a majorly dysfunctional intersection. All the credit goes to Speaker Mariano on that. And I would assume too, former city councilor Dan Ramondi. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yes, Washington Street looks a lot better than it did. And it's amazing what a tree planting program can do too. But when you look at, this was one thing I was thinking about today when I was coming home. When you look at sort of a lineage in Ward 2, it's pretty impressive. But one thing that I've always noticed about these people was it was all about customer service. It was all about constituent service. It was all about helping people. Before my time, but I've heard enough about them where I feel like I could just Clifford, Kippy Marshall, a guy of the people. Teddy DeCristofaro, constituent services. Bob Sarasoli, former state rep, eventually inspector general, constituent services. Dan Ramondi, one of the brightest minds in Quincy politics, constituent services. Believe me, I heard a lot about that when I first came in. Obviously now state rep, now Speaker of the House. You don't get to that level without constituent services, and I'd like to think that, the number one job that I took very seriously was constituent services. Jim Sheets gave me a very invaluable piece of advice when I first came in. And what he said to me was that when somebody calls you, that is the number one most pressing thing that they have going on in their life at that moment. And it's your job to help them. And I've never, never, never lost sight of that. Ever. And, I could boil that job description of the city council down to, two words, constituent services. And if you do that appropriately, when you have your performance evaluation every 2 years in an election, people will respect and respond to that you're doing the job.
If you I'm don't, guessing that's your advice to your successor then, right?
You just need to pick up the phone, meet people where they're at, and find solutions. And when I talked about, keeping it real with people, I would always get back to people regardless. Sometimes the answer wasn't the one that we had hoped, but it was the answer. And, I feel like people can respect you or do respect you when you get back to them. Nothing worse than when somebody is leaning on a form of government and it's, going into the abyss. And Ward 2, as I just shared with you, sort of a lineage, there's a high expectation of constituent services, as it should be.
So do you have somebody in mind, Brad, that you'd like to suggest fill out your term? I know Dan Ramondi spoke highly of you when he was thinking about leaving.
Yeah, so I know let me take a step back. I believe the city council president this evening is going to outline the process, which I'm, full disclosure, still not 100% clear about. So from there, basically there'll be people that submit resumes. I don't know who exactly, like in totality, will submit the resume. I have a couple ideas. I know, you know, there's some really good people that are interested in the job that reach out to me. And again, you know, I give them the good, the bad, and the indifferent, you know, because it's a big, this job's not about showing up to ribbon cuttings and, you know, waving at people in parades. This stuff is about like going out, answering your phone when it comes, you know, a telephone call comes in at 11:15 at night, meeting people, you know, on their terms and in really some of the darkest hours of their lives. That's the stuff that I've always enjoyed. And that's the realness for the authenticity of the job. So to answer your question, because I know that's what you want me to do. I don't know exactly who's going to formally apply. I do know that regardless, I think that the term filler, if you will, the number one job qualification is going to be to answer telephone calls. You know, it's a huge learning curve. And I will share to people that are listening in my district, I'm still 110% committed to helping with the transition because it's a lot. The analogy goes, it's like drinking through a fire hose. That's exactly how it is. And there's a lot going on in the city. Even though it's conducted virtually now, there's still a lot going on. There's a lot to learn. And, I look forward to helping with the transition, for sure.
Well, I really appreciate our relationship, Brad, over the years. You've been really responsive and right willing to step up and share information with our viewers here at QATV. It's been great, and I really do appreciate it, and I thank you.
Yeah, of course, Joe. I'll miss those, some of those nights. I remember back when the city council would sort of dwindle on into the night with, I was city council president. We'd I'd get home at past midnight. By the time you fall asleep, it's 1:30. Get up with the kids. Now I'm like on my way to work, having my morning conversation and debrief or download with Joe Cat. I mean, that's just another fond memory. And you guys, like your staff, your colleagues, like incredible. You really, really are. I would spend more time with you and Mark. Right. I miss like the in your neighborhood chats. Those are great. And obviously John Clary, John and I graduated high school together. He actually broke up my no hitter in the seventh inning. Not that I've held on to it or anything, but a reminder of that sometimes. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a great guy. You guys are a quality operation and it shows. I mean, you get the accolades from your industry peers, from throughout the years. And you guys are just great. It's a great service to the city of Quincy. And like I said, Joe, I'm still looking to stay involved as a private citizen. Maybe, just maybe, I'll start going to public hearings as a private citizen. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, if you do, we'll be there to show folks for sure.
Yeah.
And don't forget, you can become a member here at QATV and have your own show now, Brad.
Oh, gosh. God help us. But seriously, Joe, appreciate your friendship and your professionalism over the years. And just want to take a quick moment because I believe we're coming to the end, to thank my supporters, my friends, my people who, put me in this seat and literally gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. That's what that is, an opportunity of a lifetime. If you remember, I won my first race, 54 votes. People say every vote doesn't count, so thank you to the people who put me in there and gave me this opportunity. I will, I'll be forever grateful, but I'm not going too far.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. And to you and your family, a very happy, healthy 2021 and beyond.
You as well, Joe. God bless. All the best, my friend. Pleasure to be with you.
All right. Take care.